Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a Radio.com station.
The New England Brady thing, a lot of people are saying this. I know what a lot of you think as the public. You think we're all just making crap up. You think he's going to go back to New England. And I do think that's about 70%. But I'm going to tell you that people in this business who are connected very close to Tom think he's gone. They think he's gone. Now, I have one great source on this who is close to Tom. Tom, it's not a money issue. He's scared he's going to get trapped. As we've talked about, the New England Patriots have to pay Tom in mid-March. That way, it's less of a cap hit. So New England's probably going to make him an offer, whatever they make him, March 16th, 17th, 18th. Tom's concern is, I don't know what you're going to do. Do you have the free agents by then? What are you going to do in the draft? Because Tom knows New England doesn't spend money. They like to find value in everybody, even wide receivers.
All right, that was Colin Cowherd earlier in the week. Brian Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock. The number, if you want to join us, 617-779-7937. Again, that number is 617-779-7937. I do agree with his overall point in this, that Brady's concern is not about the money, but it's never been about the money. That's not new to any of us. What I think it is more than anything else with Brady is, how do I make sure that I can fulfill my legacy, which is the TB12 brand? I want to be playing till I'm 45, till I'm 46 years old. Brady has said before he will stop playing when he sucks. There has to be at least some thought in the back of Brady's mind this time around. Is this the best destination for me to excel on the football field? Now, you can give me the argument that we've had in the past. Well, the Patriots always figure it out, all this. Well, Brady's been dealing with a lack of weapons last year. And if you're Tom Brady, you want to go out on your terms. You want to prove that you can play till you're 45, 46 years old. If you have the crap that you were dealing with this year, your goal of playing till you were 45, 46 years old, I'm sorry. That's going completely out the window. You don't have the personnel coming back here to the Patriots to be able to excel at a high level. It's just not available. You have Julian Edelman and what else? So I totally can understand where Colin Cowherd's saying is essentially right now what Brady's waiting for is he's waiting to see what the Patriots can put in front of him. That's why the one report I believe in all this is the report that Tom Brady, what he wants from the Patriots, are weapons. He does not want to go through another season where it is pulling teeth like it was last year. Did Tom Brady look like he was having fun last year? Absolutely not. But I do want to start with one other thing as it pertains to the Brady watch. And that's something that Rob Ninkovich said this week, because it's really difficult at this point for people to have fresh takes and fresh information on where Brady's going to go or even fresh thoughts on Tom Brady. But Rob Ninkovich, who, of course, played with Brady for a number of years, he had an interesting point on the future of the Patriots with or without Tom Brady. So this is what he told the Boston Herald earlier this week. And he was referring to Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, and Jamie Collins, who are all, of course, impending free agents. And here's what Rob Ninkovich had to say about that. Quote, it's going to be difficult to try to bring everybody back. I would think if Tom comes back, one of the other players comes back. But if Tom doesn't come back, I don't know if those guys are going to want to stick around, because what's the outlook for the team? Is it a rebuilding phase? What happens moving forward? That would be a hard sell. In years past, the Patriots have been able to get guys at a bargain because it's an older veteran guy who's looking for a Super Bowl or a playoff run. They're approached by the Patriots who say, look, we're not going to guarantee you the biggest contract, but we're going to give you an opportunity to play in the playoffs and the Super Bowl if you're interested. 99% of guys are like, yeah, I want some validation for my football career. So that isn't even in terms of attracting external free agents that we're talking about, where Brady wants other guys out there. We're talking about internal free agents that Ninkovich is saying, hey, if Brady doesn't come back, the Devin McCourty situation, the Kyle Van Noy situation, the Jamie Collins situation, that could all be difficult in terms of bringing those guys back. So do you agree with Ninkovich that Brady leaving could really hurt the Patriots not only this year in free agency, but into the future? And if Brady leaves, does this mystique of the Patriots kind of go with them? 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. So I wanted to get to that because this is an underrated part of Brady's legacy, if you will. I just want to give some credence to what Ninkovich was saying, where you should worry about not only your own free agents, but other free agents out there if Brady does decide to leave town. So just think about some of these internal guys. Julian Edelman signed a contract extension last May, 2-year deal worth about $7.7 million in average salary for 2 years. $12 million of that is guaranteed. So the contract around the $16 million range, a little over $15 million. That's below market value. Julian Edelman was just the Super Bowl MVP after the 2018 season. And he took a discount essentially to remain with the Patriots instead of waiting and entering free agency. Why? Because he's Tom's puppy. He loves Brady. He wants to stick around with Brady because he knows it's going to give him the best opportunity to win, but also because of the fact that Brady's been a great teammate to him. You look at a guy like Danny Amendola, redid his contract a bunch of times. 2016, he took a $4.4 million pay cut. And oh, by the way, Amendola has decided he's going to go back to the Detroit Lions. But I'm pointing out Amendola's time here with the Patriots to get back to what Ninkovich was saying about guys staying here for less money. 2016, the guy took a $4.4 million pay cut. 2017, his contract went from $6 million to $1.6 million. Why? Because Danny Amendola loved playing with Tom Brady. They had those vacations together. They went to the Kentucky Derby, and we saw Amendola and Edelman and Gronk all working out together in the offseason, right? In Tom's Ranch or whatever that place was that he has in Montana. So they stayed and they took less money because of the fact they wanted to stick around with Tom Brady. And then you look to Ninkovich's point about external guys. So think about this for an example. Chris Long a couple of years ago. Remember, he's on the 2016 Patriots Super Bowl team. He signed a 1-year contract, ended up being worth about $2.4 million. He was making $10 million the year prior. Why did he come here? He came here because he thought it gave him the best opportunity to win. And even if it isn't directly for Tom Brady or because of Tom Brady, it's indirectly because of that, because Brady is the piece and Brady is the player that put the organization over the top. And by the way, I talked to Chris Long about 4 months ago, did an interview with me, with him, and he told me about Tom Brady, that he's one of the best teammates he ever had, and that Brady legitimately, I asked him, is it a myth or is it true that Brady introduces himself to everybody? He said, no, that's true. He came up to me and said, hey, I'm Tom. And I said, yeah, I know. So Chris Long also said that he went up to Tom Brady after the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and he thanked him for the prior season. So Chris Long's a guy that thought, okay, I can latch on to a championship team and can win a Super Bowl because of Brady, the mystique of the Patriots, etc. And Chris Long, even the schematic way that this team was playing defensively, it didn't fit his skill set. That's why he went to Philadelphia, and still he didn't complain. He didn't do anything. He only had like what? And they were impactful snaps, but he only had like 15 snaps in the Super Bowl. He was okay with that because it was about winning. Junior Seau, way back in the day, remember the late, great Junior Seau, he came here, his first year deal was like $1.2 million. And even if it isn't directly because of Brady, it's indirectly because Brady gives you that opportunity to, at the end of your career, get to a Super Bowl. Ben Watson, and I get he wasn't productive this year. Why did he come back? Because of Tom Brady. Think about this. Ben Watson got cut at one point this season. And then he came back. He stayed around so he could come back to the
team. He happily came back.
Yes, so he could play with Tom Brady. Okay, so look, I understand that a lot of it has to do with how successful the organization has been. And we know how smart Belichick has been. But he has to at least realize a large portion of the reason guys come here for pay cuts and guys stayed here to take less money is because of Tom Brady. And the other element, and we talk about this and we've talked about it ad nauseum over the years, Brady has always taken less. So if Brady's taken less, the greatest player in the history of the sport, it motivates other guys here to take less. And it almost, I almost have this fear of like, could this turn into a Tim Duncan situation where Duncan took less for years in San Antonio and he was the pillar of the organization, the leader, etc. And when Duncan left, the Spurs had Kawhi Leonard, who was supposed to be that next great player and carry on the Spurs legacy, if you will. And what happens to Kawhi Leonard? Him and the organization have this issue in terms of his injuries, etc. And then he demands a trade and he's out of town and the Spurs never recovered and they didn't have that leader after Brady. I'm fearful that that could happen here in New England if Brady is to leave. This is a very underrated part of Brady's legacy, is all these guys coming here and taking less money and the guys that decided to stay for less money because Tom Brady did the same thing. And that's something that I did not account for as we talked about Brady and his impending free agency, is something that Rob Ninkovich pointed out earlier this week, is this could be something that is definitely felt by the Patriots organization and a couple of other things. So first of all, even if Bill, say hypothetically, finds that next great quarterback, will he eventually take pay cuts like Tom Brady? Think about this. Even if he hits on the perfect player in the draft, or Stidham, maybe Stidham's already the guy. Maybe he already believes Stidham's going to be the next franchise quarterback of the Patriots. Is Stidham, or whoever the guy may be, franchise quarterback X, whoever it is that player going to be willing to do what Tom Brady did for a number of years? And then another thing I would ask is, okay, how can you recruit free agents now if Tom's gone? If the Texans, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Ravens are in a conversation, wouldn't they rather play with Watson, Mahomes, Wilson, or Jackson than the team that just used to have Tom Brady? It just doesn't make you a very attractive destination for free agents. And one other thing that really scares me now, are we already past the point of Brady being an attraction? So remember this last year, and everybody made this huge deal about Adam Humphries and the fact that he decided to go to the Tennessee Titans over the Patriots because he had committed to them first. But what stuck out to me with Adam Humphries is a quote that he had when he decided to go to the Tennessee Titans. He said this, quote, "Obviously he's the GOAT. That's that simple. But there's so much that factors into a decision. It was a four-year deal. Who knows how many years he's got left? There's a lot that goes into that. And he looks like, and if you look at what he did, he chose to go play with Marcus Mariota over Tom Brady. And you can say, oh, he's a loyal guy and all that. But he said, I'm signing a four-year contract. I don't know how many years Tom Brady has left. So even under the assumption that Brady comes back to the Patriots, that attraction that the Patriots had as an organization with the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport, is that already out the window now that Tom Brady is older? And we already saw last year, at least part of the reason that Adam Humphries did not come to the Patriots is because Brady was aging, right? And he didn't know, hey, If I'm going to sign a four-year contract with the Patriots, if I'm going to commit to them long-term, I want to make sure that Tom Brady's going to be here. And Humphries was right to do that because think about it. Well, look at what we are at now. We don't know if Brady's coming back this year. So Humphries now, it ended up being Tannehill, the better quarterback than Mariota, but he was ahead of this knowing that Brady could leave at the end of the season. Or who knows, maybe he could retire at the end of the season. So just think about some of these other guys in terms of the young free agents we're talking about out there. A guy like Hunter Henry, for example, in his mid-20s, guy's an absolute stud. Now, he has had injuries, played in 12 games this year, but the guy's an absolute stud when he's actually out on the football field, right? You think about a guy like Hunter Henry, and you're like, okay, even if the Patriots come after me, right? So if the Patriots, hypothetically, they say, hey, Hunter Henry's one of my targets in free agency, and Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio are trying to get Hunter Henry. If you're Hunter Henry and some of these other teams with younger quarterbacks, whoever it may be, the Texans, the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson, one of these other teams, even a team like the San Francisco 49ers already have a tight end like George Kittle. But just play along for a second. If you're one of these other guys, like a young Hunter Henry, why would you commit to the Patriots on a four-year contract if the money was pretty similar and you didn't know what the future of Tom Brady was going to be? It just doesn't make sense for these younger free agents to commit here long-term, and that has to be a concern going forward. So that allure... Oh, okay. So we have Desmond Howard talking about this earlier this week or at some point this offseason.
I don't think that a lot of players will believe in it, so it's not going to be an attractive destination for free agents if Tom Brady is no longer in New England.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. And I believe that that mystique has already gone away, as I was saying earlier, because we saw a guy like Adam Humphries reference Brady's age last offseason. Now he's a year older, and actually his production has slipped a little bit, as we saw this past season. And I get there's other factors, the offensive line, the receiving core, etc. But for the most part, when you look at that, don't you think that trend would continue? why would I want to sign with the Patriots? Because they're not that overwhelming favorite that they used to be. Tom Brady showed some slippage last season. And even if he commits to the Patriots, I don't know how long he's going to be there based on his age. So I believe that advantage that Bill Belichick had, and maybe he took it for granted all these years because he was negotiating contracts with all these guys. Maybe he didn't realize in the back of his mind, hey, Brady's the reason all these guys are taking less money. It's not to play for me. It's because Brady's here and they want an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. But now that advantage that the Patriots had over the rest of the field, that is now completely out the window. Because even guys like Peyton Manning, he never took less money until the end of his career, okay, when he sucked. Most of these quarterbacks don't take less money. Aaron Rodgers doesn't take less money. Russell Wilson doesn't take less money. All these other quarterbacks of the elite status like Brady has been, Brady's the only guy that takes less money, which that has a trickle-down effect on the rest of the organization where you can go to other guys and actually have this legitimate conversation. Hey, will you take a pay cut? Tom took a pay cut. These guys are willing to do it because Brady has done that, because Brady has set that standard within the organization. So either way, whether or not Brady decides to go to a different organization or if Brady decides he wants to stay here, that advantage that the Patriots once had, it seems like from my perspective, that's going to be gone. And I also look at Tom Brady in this criteria. It seems like that he is putting everything out there that is setting up his departure from the organization. And a couple of things. We see the report that Tom Brady wants weapons. Okay, so that's something that Brady can point to if there is ultimately a divorce. Not that he would reference it directly. He would be classy if he left. But hey, I asked for more weapons and you guys didn't get me more weapons if Bill is not able to deliver and actually get him the proper artillery on the outside that he needs in terms of receivers, tight ends, etc. And then the other thing that I would look at as it pertains to Brady is Brady is saying, hey, I want to make sure that I finish out my career and I play till I'm 45 because that's always been part of the TB12 brand. That's what I've been trying to promote for a number of years, is I want to play till I'm 45, 46 years old because that's who I am and that's what the TB12 brand is. Well, if you have other teams out there, like, for example, we've already seen the report from Larry Fitzgerald Sr., where apparently the Raiders are willing to offer him 2 years and $60 million. So if the Raiders are willing to offer you that 2 years, $60 million, and Belichick's not willing to match something in that criteria, Brady has that at his disposal as well, where he says, look, all I wanted to do is make sure that I can assure myself that I can play until I'm 44, 45, 46 years old. And Bill Belichick's making me go year to year again. If you're Brady, you're like, well, this can set up my exit. So if Brady does want to leave, there's two things that he can really point to. The Patriots for years have not been giving him the extension he wants. 2017 MVP, Belichick says, yeah, about that extension, Tom, we're not going to give it to you. They give him a bunch of incentives. He doesn't reach any of those. The following season after the Super Bowl, of course, the last negotiation, he asks for the extension. He does not get it. He gets a little bump in pay, and he gets the power to become a free agent. So the past 2 years, it hasn't gone the way that Brady wants it to. So he takes it into his control where he can actually go out there and entertain other offers from different organizations if that's what he wants to do. And clearly it looks like we're on track where Brady is going to take meetings, at least meet with other teams. It looks like that's the course or that's the track that we're on right now. So from that perspective, the contract thing, that's one criteria that would tell you, oh, it looks like Brady may be going elsewhere. And the second thing, and maybe more important than anything here, is Brady doesn't want to go out playing on a crappy offensive football team. And right now, the Patriots, the reality of the situation is they're a crappy offensive football team. So unless he sees major changes, if you're Tom Brady, you're probably like, I don't want to come back and my numbers to look like they did last year. And everybody's saying I'm worn down, falling off a cliff, I suck. Now, Brady doesn't want to deal with that for another season. So that's another reason that Brady could decide to leave the organization. And that's why I think Brady allows that report to get out there, because he wants to put the pressure on the Patriots to be able to get him the weapons, the offensive weapons that he wants. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady conversation, certainly welcome to do so. The number 617-779-7937. I do also want to get to some comments David Ortiz made this week. He is on the wrong side of the Astros scandal. I'll get into that in just a little bit. A bad look for David Ortiz. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI. We'll get you trending in a second.
The WEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEI Sports Radio Network.
I was the one who started. I saw an interview that he did the other day, and I feel bad for him because people were asking questions like he was the one who started this shit up. No, man, you know, like I'm here to make sure that you guys as a fan, like I see players trying to tell him what he need to do. Hey, he don't tell you how to hit or how to pitch. So let him do his job, you know. He gonna do what is best for the game.
All right, that was David Ortiz earlier in the week supporting Rob Manfred. The only person out there right now supporting Rob Manfred for the lack of suspensions, if you will, that he gave out for the Astros players. Right now, the only guy he's got support from is David Ortiz. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you until 8 o'clock. We'll get back to that in a second. Let's get some of these Brady reactions out there. Let's go to Tony's in Dorchester. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Brian. How you doing tonight?
Good, man. What do you got?
It's a first time speaking with you, man, so it's a pleasure. You know, and I say that wholeheartedly here. That was clever, intelligent, the way you just broke down the pay cuts here with all the players. And I hadn't heard it broken down like that in a while. So thank you very much for that here. That just goes to prove here to a lot of people that what I've been saying all along there, that's been pay cuts all along the way here. His offense was awful this year, so there's no reason why he shouldn't, you know, test the market. But I haven't said all that, though, Brian. Mm-hmm. I think this is my own opinion, and I think just being 42, I think he's staying put. I think he just wanted to light up the path, and Belichick for that matter, and just get him going on here and get in some talent. And I think he's still, you know, for some reason, I'm not, you know, not that I approve of Brown, Antonio Brown or anything, but yep. I think for some reason he's still upset about that, you know, because he still kept going on social media and yeah. still giving them a thumbs up on a lot of stuff. So he's still upset about that. It's just the talent on the offensive end. The defense is fine, but he's upset about that. You know, and that was my point that I wanted to call. I also asked your producer, who's a great guy here, sweet guy, and I said, can I touch a little bit on the cheating scandal? What I yeah. wanted to touch was on David Ortiz, but you came with that first. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you haven't even touched on it yet, but I'm going to tell you right now, him coming out, first of all, protecting Manfred, but just going after Mike Friars yeah. was totally the wrong move. This guy, and I'll tell you why, Brian, this guy, wasn't he just shot out there in the Dominican?
Yeah.
In order for you to resolve all of that huge conspiracy that made the U.S. media, you need to have people to talk. And they all came out and said he wasn't the intended target, which I still, and a lot of people still yeah. Believe that was incorrect. And yeah. but I'm just saying to you, you need people to talk, to come and clean things up. And that's my only point. But
yeah,
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tony, and the kind words. His line's open at 617-779-7937. Okay, first to his Brady point. I understand. I believe in an ideal world, Brady would like to finish his career here, but first of all, he doesn't have the weapons. And secondarily, we don't know if Bill's going to offer him the contract that another team's going to offer him where he can assure he can get a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. We know that's going to be out there. We've already seen the 2-year, $60 million deal that apparently the Raiders are willing to offer Tom Brady. So there's also this element to it. Drew Brees could say this week that he's returning to the Saints. He doesn't even have a contract done, but he knows the Saints are going to re-sign it. Brady doesn't even have that ability if he wanted to. Now, I know he fought for his power to be a free agent, but Brady doesn't even have that at his disposal. So for those reasons, I believe Brady's going to leave. And I believe in some sense, Belichick wants to move on from the player because he doesn't want to lock him up to a long-term deal. He wouldn't give him one after he was the MVP or after he won a Super Bowl. Why would he do it now? It just doesn't make sense from the way that Belichick has sort of behaved in the previous negotiations. He wasn't willing to give Brady that extension. Why all of a sudden now, after a miserable season for Brady statistically, why would he give him that extension? The other thing, getting back to the David Ortiz point, I never bought into the fact that they were going after a different guy and Ortiz was in the target. That doesn't make any sense. But getting back to the original point where David Ortiz defended Rob Manfred in terms of what Manfred did in terms of the lack of suspensions for the Astros players and everything that went along with that. The other thing I would point out is this. Remember this. In 2003, David Ortiz came up on the Mitchell Report. And David Ortiz said, oh, this never happened, all this. I'd like to prove it. Talked about the Players Association, all this crap. Then in 2017, when Ortiz was in that farewell season, this is what Manfred said during this quote. I think that the feeling was at the time that the name was leaked, that it was important to make people understand that even if your name was on the list, that it was entirely possible that you were not positive. I do know that he's never been a positive test at any point under our new program. So he went out of his way to mention in 2017 that David Ortiz may not have tested positive in 2003 when that Mitchell report came out with the list of all the players that Ortiz was on. So Rob Manfred has had David Ortiz's back in the past. So maybe this is David Ortiz, in a sense, kind of returning the favor to Rob Manfred. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Billy's in Manchester. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I want to weigh in with where I think Brady's going to end up next year. I think he's going to Dallas.
So you think Dak's out?
And the funny thing is, I keep hearing people talk about, Jerry Jones in the future. Jerry Jones is an old man.
Yeah, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl since 94.
And he doesn't have, that I'm aware of anyway, he doesn't have a Jonathan Kraft sitting in the wings waiting to take over his legacy.
He does. He's got Stephen Jones. He's got his kid.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't put it above him to do something crazy to win a Super Bowl for himself while he's still here.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And Bill, the other thing is the Cowboys completely messed this up. They signed Ezekiel Elliott before Dak Prescott. You should have got the quarterback signed before the running back. And oh, by the way, a running back just had his worst season as an NFL player since you signed him to that contract. And we all know running backs age quickly. So I never understood the kind of order of operations that the Cowboys went about. But again, it is the Cowboys. They're completely dysfunctional.
The other thing, the one thing I think that might be good is if he does go to Dallas, the first thing I do if I'm Nick Sirianni is I get on the phone and I see what they'll give me for Edelman.
So you trade Edelman away with him.
Well, what's Edelman's value without Brady?
No, that's a fair point. It's a good point.
As opposed to what is if Brady were to go to a new team and you bring him into a new system and you can go out and trade for his binky?
Yeah. Well, Bill, my take the whole time is if Brady is to leave, what I would rather do, I don't want one of these bridge guys, the Andy Daltons, the Derek Carrs, who aren't that good. They're mediocre players. I'd rather just give Stidham the keys, see if he's good enough, and if not, you draft another quarterback into the future.
And I agree. You know what's the name that I had heard a while ago? I haven't heard in a while. What is with the situation like Josh Rosen? What about going out and getting one of these guys who's drafted highly to a terrible team and kind of washed out, and getting one of them and maybe giving them a second chance, rehabbing somebody like a Rosen or a McCarron?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bill. My one concern about Rosen is this. So I understand Arizona, bad situation, bad line. Not exactly like the playmakers around him there, except like 97-year-old Larry Fitzgerald. But then he gets another chance in Miami. And I'm not saying they had a great setup, but Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the job back from Rosen. Remember, Fitzpatrick began the season as a starter. They go to Rosen. He sucks so bad, they give it back to Fitzpatrick. I'm just not a believer in that player. Now, if there was that type of prototype out there who just didn't succeed in a different organization, okay, fine. But in terms of those guys out there, I just don't see that type of player. And McCarron just isn't talented enough from my perspective. I've said this the whole time. If I'm the Patriots and I don't have Brady back here, what is Andy Dalton, Derek Carr doing for you? It's not exactly like this team is going to go to a Super Bowl with those guys leading the team. So I'd rather just give Stidham an opportunity. You drafted him in the third round for a reason. You obviously thought highly of the player. Just give him the opportunity to start. And if you aren't completely sold on him, draft another one this year. I'm fine with that. And if that guy doesn't work, draft another one the next year. But I don't want to be one of these mediocre football teams on the treadmill of mediocrity, if you will, and just being good enough to maybe get into the postseason. That doesn't do anything for me. Being 8-8 or 9-7 and having no chance to win the Super Bowl, where does that get you? I want to find the next franchise quarterback if Brady leaves. I don't want one of these bridge guys whatsoever. Now, the other thing I'd say about getting back to the David Ortiz conversation, David Ortiz is like the only guy out there supporting Rob Manfred. And what David Ortiz doesn't understand, he points out the fact that, hey, he's not telling you how to hit a baseball. Here's the problem. Rob Manfred did a terrible job handing down suspensions or lack thereof. He didn't want to suspend the players. They got immunity. But then this week, he makes the comment, or late last week, that he referred to the World Series trophy as just a piece of metal. Okay, then he had to walk back those comments and apologize for that. And David Ortiz is supporting Rob Manfred in this particular situation. The problem is players around the league feel unsatisfied because they believe what happened is the Astros cheated their way to a World Series and there's no repercussions for the players. They're not punished, and secondarily, they don't get the World Series taken away from them. For example, 2013, Louisville college basketball. They're technically not champions anymore because the NCAA, and I'm not saying the NCAA does a whole lot right, but because they had that scandal there, they took away the trophy. They took away the banner. Louisville technically is not the champions in 2013. In this case, with all the proof you have around the Astros, you could have taken the World Series title away. So that's what's wrong. with this situation, David Ortiz, is other players around the league feel unsatisfied with what Rob Manfred did. This isn't just like, oh, Rob Manfred came out with this and it all worked out well. No, everybody around baseball is mad with the lack of punishment that Rob Manfred came out with and the fact that he called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. It's an absolute joke. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence. Hey, what's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, Brian. It's been a while. With regards to your Brady note, I'm 100% with you on that. I've been talking about it for a while. I don't want this whole bridge thing. And honestly, to me, the best option is to hand it over to Stidham, because if it doesn't work out, you know what? If they have a bad season next year, they're going to have a great draft pick. Yeah, and that's the number one way to get it.
Mike, that's the thing. Look, if Stidham sucks, who cares? Oh, well, you go back into the draft the following year and you try to get your franchise quarterback then. So it's worth it. Find out if he's good or not.
That's exactly it, you know. Secondly, with regards to Ortiz, for me, I think a lot of this does come down to personal loyalty, including a great note about Manfred sticking up for him with regards to the PED, but also just what happened to him down the DR.
Right.
Both with the Red Sox and Manfred, I'm sure that they came through for him big time. I know the Red Sox did.
Yeah, they sent the plane.
The ones that medically evacuated him.
Yeah, they sent the plane down there.
I mean, this is life and death stuff, and they came through for him. So I think he felt that. I just wish he just kept his mouth shut about the whole snitch thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can understand where he's coming from. But you know what about this Red Sox season?
Mm-hmm.
I love the Betts trade. We were talking about the reason he needed to move.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to move him before, and on an intellectual level, I'm just excited about this season to see what pans out, particularly on the offensive side. Because I think elite players have been overvalued and good players are undervalued. And I think that while he'll be missed, it won't be anywhere near what people are expecting it to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're pretty much on the same level offensively this year as they were last year.
Yeah, Mike, I completely agree with you and appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I said it when the trade was made. This will still be a top five offense in Major League Baseball. You still have Devers. You still have Bogarts. You still have J.D. Martinez. So the lineup is still loaded. And I would expect that Andrew Benintendi has a much better season this year than he did the year prior, especially considering the fact that you don't have Alex Cora putting him in the leadoff spot where clearly he was not comfortable anymore. So I expect the offense to be the way that it was last year. Maybe not to the same extent, but pretty close. I believe it's going to be a top five group in Major League Baseball. And the other thing that I would look at, to the point that Mike makes about the Mookie Betts trade, if you were going to attach David Price to the trade, you weren't going to get much more than you did. And you ended up, because you checked the medicals, you did your due diligence, et cetera, you got Jeter Downs added in that trade. I know he didn't field well the other day. Whatever. I don't care. You got a top five player in the Dodgers organization, and you had to trade away David Price with Mookie Betts, so it hurts your value because David Price, obviously, since you're eating some of that contract, is viewed as a negative contract. No issue with that whatsoever with the return the Red Sox got with everything that was basically against Chaim Bloom in this deal, where he was working from a disadvantageous position. I thought he did a good job considering the circumstances. Now, you can have a whole different argument about paying Mookie Betts. I was not in the camp of paying Mookie Betts. I believe that he's an overrated player. I do not believe he's going to age incredibly well because of the fact that his game is based on speed, his bat speed. He has no power to the opposite field. And when you look at Mookie Betts from an aging perspective, I liken it to Andrew McCutchen, a guy that's about 5'11", about a buck 90. Mookie Betts, 5'10", about a buck 80. Those guys, both their games based on fast hands, right? Look at how McCutchen has aged over the past couple of years. Not pretty. I believe that Mookie will be on a very similar trajectory to that, and they dodged a bullet, not giving him that big long-term deal. Think about it. You have to learn from what happened with all these other bad contracts, the David Price contract, the Chris Sale contract, all these other contracts. If you gave Mookie one, you'd just be resetting the cycle. It makes no sense. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Red Sox situation, certainly welcome to do so. David Ortiz's comments. Plus, Tom Brady, do you think ultimately he's putting out the feelers that it looks like he's going to leave the team? The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock right here on WEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? So they stopped that. So all this thing that is going on right now, it's not out there because it's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while. And you don't want that.
All right, that was David Ortiz. I mean, geez, could you have a more idiotic comment? First of all, he calls Mike Fiers a snitch, and he said, this is going to be a big distraction for the game. Well, you know what else was probably bad for baseball? The fact that the Houston Astros cheated their way to a World Series. And this guy came out and he actually put that out there that they cheated. And now we actually have real evidence that the Astros cheated their way to win a World Series. The fact that they played the Yankees in a seven-game series, lost every game in New York, but oh, they won at home because their cheating system was working. And David Ortiz is calling the guy Mike Fiers a snitch.
So you look like a snitch.
For ratting them out. Think about how bad this is for baseball from David Ortiz's perspective. What he's doing bad. He'd rather them cover up the fact that the Astros are cheating than Mike Fiers come out and let everybody know that they were cheating. What Mike Fiers did was actually good for baseball because now the Houston Astros, you know what they're not going to be doing anymore? They're not going to be cheating because they got caught red-handed. This is obviously a major issue in the sport of baseball, and Mike Fiers put it all out there. And the fact that he's saying, well, why didn't he do it when it was going on? You think somebody's going to come out as the season's going on and be like, hey, the team's cheating? Really? You think it's going to happen during the season? But now it got to a ridiculous level where Mike Fiers is just like, I got to let everybody know about this. I applaud him for doing it because he's a guy that's an average level pitcher, 4.02 career ERA. And now if you think about it, if another person wanted to say that another team was cheating with what David Ortiz did to Mike Fiers, it'd be much more difficult for that player to say that because the player would think, well, do I want a guy like David Ortiz, a legend in Boston, a legend in the sport, to come out and call me a snitch if I put it out there that another team was cheating? It actually hurts the game what David Ortiz did way more than what Mike Fiers did. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. Let's get to Mikey's in Avon. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show.
Appreciate it.
So the discussion that you were having about Tom Brady and Jarrett Stidham, I pretty much agree with you. I don't think Brady's going to leave because of money. Right. I mean, it could be a multiple of other things, but my thought was I'm on board with you with Stidham is, you know, if Brady ends up leaving, Stidham takes over, see what he can do. But without Brady there, that opens up a lot more cap space to actually give Stidham weapons and see what he can do with those too.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. Now, Stidham's cap hit next year would be about $750,000, and the year after that, it doesn't even get to $1 million in his rookie contract. So that's definitely out there. The one thing that I would have, the one concern I would have about that, our player is going to want to come to New England and play for the Patriots with Jarrett Stidham as the quarterback and not Tom Brady. So I feel like guys came here to play with Brady. Is that same mystique going to still be here with the Patriots if Brady leaves? Does it still remain here because Belichick's here? That's a question that we don't have answers to yet.
Well, that's a good point that you make, absolutely. And, I mean, but I do definitely see Stidham, I mean, being with the Patriots, learning in the system, he's got to be at least on a Ryan Tannehill-type level. I mean, you never know, but I would assume so, and look at how far Tannehill got them under Vrabel, never mind Stidham under Belichick.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. Maybe not his year one is what Tannehill just had this year. Because is that the Tannehill or whatever?
Yeah, that is the Tannehill music, John Anderson special.
Because Tannehill was not very good in Miami. He was fine. He was like an average. He was like Andy Dalton in Miami. This year in Tennessee, he led the league in quarterback rating. So he definitely took his game up. So to expect Stidham to be what Tannehill was last year, I think that's kind of unfair expectations. But in terms of what he was early in his career, I think you could have at least the expectation, maybe this guy's pretty good. Belichick obviously thought highly of the player. So let's see what the guy can actually do when he actually gets onto the football field. And I'd much rather find out about Stidham next year than have Andy Dalton or Derek Carr here. Sorry, for my entertainment purposes, I'd be more attracted to Stidham playing than one of those other guys as well. What are you getting with Derek Carr or Andy Dalton? Let's find out if Stidham is actually that guy. And to Mike's point, it would be fascinating to see Belichick with a rookie quarterback with a very low, or technically a second-year quarterback next year, but a guy in a rookie contract is what I'm getting to, and seeing Belichick put the team together with all that cap space. Remember, that's what the Chiefs had at their disposal this past year with Mahomes. He's still on a rookie contract. When the Seahawks won their Super Bowl with Russell Wilson, and even when they lost to the Patriots, Wilson's under a rookie contract. So those teams benefited. The Eagles loaded up because Carson Wentz was on a rookie contract all those years ago. I get Foles won the Super Bowl, but Belichick would now have that advantage that really he's never had, and since Brady really began his career. The one other thing I'd say, just to put a bow on the David Ortiz conversation, Aaron Judge said this week that the Astros didn't deserve the World Series. Altuve hit 472 at home, 143 on the road. Correa, 371 at home, 211 on the road. That's why people are upset, David Ortiz, is because they feel like the Astros weren't deserving World Series champions, and the punishment for the players was nothing. And secondarily, Rob Manfred did nothing in terms of actually taking the World Series away from the Astros. So being on Rob Manfred's side in all this and calling Mike Fires a snitch, this was an absolutely atrocious look for David Ortiz. And the only thing I can say is he must be basically sticking up for Manfred, because Manfred made those comments in 17 that just because the Mitchell report came out doesn't mean David Ortiz was 100% a positive test. That must be the only reason he's supporting Rob Manfred. Okay, thanks to Dylan for producing. Coming up next, we'll have the Bucks and the 76ers here on WEI. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.